Community Connections CKMS. Local sounds, thoughts, passions, and success. Celebrate local. Your neighbor's got a story to tell. Community Connections CKMS.
Happy Friday, Waterloo Region. It is Friday, the 20th of January, 2023. Today we're featuring the music of Tim McInnes, a composer and pianist from London, Ontario. We'll be giving him a call shortly and having a live on-air interview with Tim. Right now we're listening to one of his compositions called Repetitive Stress, somewhat accurate after a Friday, an entire week of work. This is Tim McInnes from his album Shadow Life, Repetitive Stress.
Been done for games to be won. Who said life was like a basketball. Take your shot and score, though the heavens fall. Lightning strikes when you're not expecting it. Shoot that rock and score like a lightning hit.
Basketball Rock, a little unexpected from Tim McInnes, who I thought was a pianist and somewhat of a classical composer. Tim, glad to have you on the line. We've got an unusual sounding bit of music there from you. It's Basketball Rock. Can you tell me about that?
Well, that was my and only foray into rock music. I wanted to write a rock song before I die, which is better than doing after, and having it recorded. These days, I'm not doing anything like rock. The music I'm doing has been labeled neoclassical music, so I suppose I've gotten more serious. Every now and then, I'll do something funny like that, a novelty song. And I actually sent that song to the London Lightning office to see if they'd use it as their theme song or play it in games, but no dice yet. So it was just done for fun to see if I could do it. And I might say all my songs are recorded at River Music Studios here in London. I do not do them myself. I do not do the mixing. I have it done professionally.
And hence the quality is as good as it is.
Yeah. Tim Schwint, who is the proprietor of River Music, did the guitar, bass, and drums effects. I did the piano and the vocals, and I wrote the song.
Yeah. So this being an unusual type of composition for you, what made you do this? Just because it was something that you had on your bucket list?
Yes, and my first album I did nothing but practically everything was ragtime and New Orleans-type music, because I was interested in that at that time. I think I do 7 Jelly Roll Morton covers and then six or seven of my own compositions, some of which are in the ragtime vein. The second album, called Shadow Life, I did all sorts of music as well. I did some covers, but it's mostly all my own music, and you can hear it getting more serious. There are some songs in there, like Repetitive Stress, which is very, very dark.
We just played that. I didn't think it was that particularly dark.
It's being picked up on very dark, lugubrious playlists on Spotify and and so it's they want to call it neoclassical. Well, that's fine.
If it's that dark, it might fall into the goth category.
Just about, yeah. Some of my songs are. There's a song called An Even Sadder Song. It's a sad song, and then there's An Even Sadder Song. So that is even sadder. And that falls into the neoclassical category, I find. And the idea was to write the saddest song ever written. And it's sad, all right.
Did you succeed in attaining the saddest song?
That's the saddest song I can do. I don't know if it's the saddest ever written by anyone. but it is sad. And I took, if you know the movie Spinal Tap, I took their advice and composed in D minor, because D minor is the key that makes everyone weep.
Oh,
okay. Well, that was the idea behind that one.
Is that the sort of thing that's being taught in the classical music schools?
I wouldn't know, because I'm pretty much self-taught. I had some training as a kid on piano. I took the piano courses up to about age 10 or so, and then I let it go. And then I picked up piano again in my late teens, early 20s, and have been pretty much playing by ear. What I don't know about music theory, you could probably fit in a good-sized warehouse, but I am trying to pick up theory as I go. I find YouTube is very helpful for that.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a quick break here. I mean, we've got a lot of your music in our digital library here, amongst which is An Even Sadder Song. So I wouldn't mind actually playing that right now. and you can analyze it to shreds when you come back. Thank you. music from Tim McInnes. We started off with Music for Money, and then did finish off eventually with an even sadder song. So, Tim, did that live up to your expectations of being the saddest song ever?
Yeah, that was a sad song, wasn't it? Made me weep.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'd like to say the viola and violin parts were done by a neighbor of mine named Kelvin Enns, E-N-N-S, mm-hmm. who is the principal viola player for Symphonia London, and he also plays in the Kingston Symphony Orchestra. So he is quite the pro, unlike me. I'm more like Chico Marx, and he's the professional musician. Actually, we have done three songs together for Ukraine, an even sadder song, and the latest one is called Almost Home, and that is Kelvin on violin and or viola.
Mm-hmm. I've heard Almost Home. I did listen to For Ukraine as well. Didn't realize it was Kelvin playing on For Ukraine.
Yes, that is him as well.
Mm-hmm.
I've collaborated with one other violin player on a song called Ghost Dance, and that is Jesse Grandmont, who is currently touring with his show called Fiddler on the Loose. Plug.
Uh-huh.
And it plays, I believe, in Drayton and Petrolia and around this area. I believe he's even touring down in the United States. So he is an excellent violin player as well. And I'm just basically playing triads on the piano. That's all I have to do.
Yeah, but you did the composition for those songs as well.
So I wrote them all.
Yeah.
And that's the same person that wrote Basketball Rock, so go figure, yeah.
Yeah, quite the range of your repertoire there.
Yeah, it's getting to be more narrowed. I'm writing nothing but what's called neoclassical songs at the moment. Every now and then, a funny song will occur to me. There's a song called Better Days, which is done with it's about getting vaccinated. And I actually play the ukulele in that one, piano and ukulele and vocal.
Uh-huh.
So every now and then I will have a departure from, you know, serious, lugubrious, neoclassical music, just for fun.
Yeah. It's the current events, then, that get you going.
Sometimes, yes. I don't know, I felt compelled to write a pro-vax vaccine song. There are so many anti-vax songs out there that, you know, you will die if you get the vaccine, or it's bad for you somehow, or you're like a member of a flock of sheep if you go and get your vaccine. Well, I don't think so. I think it will actually do you some good.
I've been fortunate. I don't think I've been lucky. I've been careful.
Yeah.
Having avoided the virus so far, and I think that's in part due to the vaccines, in part due to...
Well, yeah, for the belt and suspenders theory, so I've been vaccinated 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be vaccinated as many times as it takes.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's Better Days. That was based on current events. For Ukraine is based on current events.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. And you've got a Christmas song in there as well, so that would be the current event for the season.
Like driving home to be home at Christmas was the idea behind that one.
Right. And that's all fairly recent music, because you just sent that to us, in the last couple of months or so?
Yeah, Almost Home just came out last month. Actually, the release date was my birthday, December 12th.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. You don't want to know how old, well, maybe you do want to know how old I am.
Only if you're willing to admit.
Very old. The big 7-0 for me. So I started this music business, quote unquote, after I retired, working many years as a forklift driver. So it's a living, but it had nothing to do with music. I started it seriously in 2015, playing piano at McCormick Home for the Alzheimer's Outreach Program for Alzheimer's patients.
Okay.
And And I did that for a little over a year. And every now and then, I would sneak in my own composition to see how it went over with the Alzheimer's patients. Well, they're not the most responsive audience, I might say, but it usually went over pretty well.
Yeah.
So I thought, all right, I can play them in quote-unquote public. Why don't I record a few of these? And I found one coming after another, and pretty soon I had 7 or 8 songs to record, and I finally did record them in 2017 at, again, River Music Studios.
That was the Selfie album.
Yes, that's Selfie. Yeah. By the way, River Music Studios is a 5-minute walk from me. Calvin Enns, my violin viola player, is 4 doors down from me. And 2 doors the other way is the somewhat famous blues guitarist Doug Vardy. So it's quite a musical area, I must say.
Yeah. Do you find that there's venues for you to play in, or do you stay out of the spotlight?
Oh, pretty much out of the spotlight. I don't perform, if you can call, you know, what I did at McCormick Home performing. That's about the only performing I've ever done. I want to be like the Beatles after they retired from performing and just do studio work and write songs. My real ambition is that somebody else, a real quote-unquote musician, a better musician than I am, will hear one of my songs and say, gee, I can do it better than that, and so go ahead and do it. I'd love to hear that.
I'm not even sure that better is so much the way to approach this, but different is always good. I like to play the same piece of music over and over again by different composers, all in a row, just to contrast and compare and to see what the differences are, interpretations coming out. Because people who are playing your music don't always have the same ideas about it that you did when you were composing it.
No. So far, nobody has picked it up to record it. But there are a lot of people listening to it. I find an even sadder song has something like 23,000 streams on Spotify. I do keep a close count of how the songs are doing on Spotify and Deezer and YouTube and all those.
I found you on SoundCloud.
SoundCloud too, yeah. I've gotten some recent fans. All of a sudden, I'll get a flurry of listens and likes and fans, and then there's a lull, but, that's fine.
Yeah, I think that's true for anybody who's composing and performing.
Oh, yeah, can't expect it to peak every day.
Yeah.
I'm working on a new song now, and these songs just occur to me out of the blue. The melodies do, anyway. And I'm working on the right beats per minute, the right chords, the right chord changes. And it occurred to me, wait a minute, this sounds like something I've heard before. Well, yes, it does. It sounds like something I've written before. The beginning is very much like my song Ghost Dance, but it's I put a whole note instead of all quarter notes for the beginning, so there is a change in tempo. So some of it is a little bit the same. I don't think it's wrong to steal from yourself.
No. Do you find that you might be getting into a rut, that you're doing the same sort of chord changes, the same sort of riffs and cadences over and over again?
I thought so, and then suddenly a brand new melody will occur to me, and whoa, where'd that come from? And that's different from what I've done before. So I work it out, and eventually I'll record this one, I'm sure. I probably have, 100 songs that have gone through the transom of my mind, and there's parts of it, and I can't think of an ending to it, or I just plain forget them. I go to bed thinking, oh, yeah, I'll remember the next day. Well, no, it is gone forever.
Or ever. So you can't keep two different songs in your head at the same time to work on them both.
When I'm sitting there watching TV or listening to music, other music will come on and it knocks the song out of my head.
Okay, it's sort of the opposite of an earworm, which is a song you can't get out of your head at all.
Yeah, and this time what I've done is set up a video camera of myself playing on my piano, so I do have the record of it. So I, even if I forget it, I just go back to that. Oh yes, okay, that's the melody.
Mm-hmm. Got some more music queued up here. I wouldn't mind playing something else of yours. Any requests?
Well, let's see. How about Ghost Dance?
Ghost Dance. We can do that.
Yep.
So the Ghost Dance is the one you were just mentioning. It's.
This is Jesse Grammont on violin.
Tim McInnes on piano, yes, of course. Ghost Dance by Tim McInnes. Didn't know ghosts waltzed. If you want to listen to a little bit more of Tim McInnes playing piano, this is the Pandemic Rag from a recently released album as well.
Mm-hmm.
for a musical change of pace, all but a waltz after a rag. Don't want to have two rags in a row. And this one is called Music Box Waltz.
Music Box Waltz by Tim McInnes.
It was.
Interesting instrumentation there, Tim. What were you playing at the beginning of that?
Well, it is called a Celeste. Myself and Tim Schwint at River Music Studios experimented with many different effects, and one of them was a Glockenspiel, but you can hear a little clunkiness in the Celeste. Well, the Glockenspiel is 10 times more clunky than the clunk, 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 clunk you can hear in the background. So this Celeste was more musical. Mozart used a Celeste in the Magic Flute, for instance, and Tchaikovsky uses it extensively in Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy and songs like that. Anyway, I wanted something that sounded like a music box, and Celeste sounded most like a music box, and then it cuts to regular piano. I'm using a Fazioli sound of piano. Went through a lot of pianos. I like Bösendorfer, I like Yamaha, but Fazioli was the one I settled on.
What would be the difference? I thought pianos were all meant to sound the same.
No, I can, well, if you're somewhat of a connoisseur, you can tell the difference. I like the low register of the Bösendorfer. I like the Yamaha all round. Steinway is all right, but when I heard Fazioli, I could really tell the difference. The Concert Grand Fazioli. Some of my songs I will use the effect of just an old upright piano. Sometimes I want the sound of a broken down piano. And there's a song called Silent Movie Heroics, which I try to sound like a piano player accompanying a movie in the 1920s. Maybe we could hear some of that. This is done on purpose. It's supposed to sound a little out of tune.
Okay, so we'll have a listen to Silent Movie Heroics by Tim McInnes. Grand finale.
It was. It was thrilling. It's supposed to emulate movies of Douglas Fairbanks Sr.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Buckling and sword fights and chases and stuff like that there. Yeah. So hopefully did that. I did that as kind of change of pace from the serious neoclassical stuff.
Yeah. What did you do to make the piano sound that way?
I don't know. Tim has thousands of effects in his files, and I told him I wanted a slightly out-of-tune, junky piano like they used in, well, to accompany silent movies, but not in a, you know, in your local theater. They would probably have an old upright piano that sounded kind of terrible, really, yeah. Being a little out of tune.
I have one of those in my living room.
Yeah. Actually, we went through many effects, and I finally heard what I wanted and said, aha, that's it, right there. Yeah. So we went with that.
So this is a digital piano. This isn't a physical string and ivory piano.
No, I'm not playing I'm playing like a MIDI keyboard. And I can have pretty much any effect I want, and by golly, if it's done right and professionally, it sounds like the real thing.
It sure does. Had me fooled.
Yeah. It sounds like I'm playing a Fazioli, but we couldn't get a 12-foot Fazioli into Tim Schmidt's little studio, so we had to settle for the sound. As long as the sound is there, then I'm satisfied.
Yeah, it's a good sound.
Mm-hmm.
That was you playing alone there. You didn't have an accompanist there.
No, I wanted to mention in Music for Money, that's my brother Brad playing the Irish flute.
Ah, okay, yeah.
And Brad McInnes, who is somewhat of a professional musician himself. although somewhat retired now, he's not doing much. And I asked him to do that. I kind of told him what the melody was, or showed him what it was, and there you go, you're on your own. So he could do whatever he wanted.
Do you ever collaborate on composing?
No, I never have. Although I have, let's say, borrowed from some composers, my song Almost Home sounds a lot like Beethoven's Pathetique.
Okay.
Some people say that's pathetic, but
yeah.
The beginning of it and the timbre, anyway, the left end especially, is very much like a Pathetique. Maybe we could play some of that.
Certainly we can. Almost Home, that's you, and that's Calvin Enns on violin too, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Here it is, Almost Home, in the style of Beethoven's Pathetique. So we were just listening to Almost Home,
yes.
And as it was playing in the background, Tim and I were talking, and I thought it sounded a little bit Chopin-ish.
Yep.
And coincidentally, Tim has actually created a song called Chopin-ish.
Yep. It's a quick one.
It's a quick one. So I suppose we should play that as a means of contrasting and comparing the different styles of composers that Tim has emulated.
It's the 25th prelude of Chopin, written by me.
By Tim McInnes.
Thank you.
Chopinish by Tim McInnes. So then when you write some music like that, do you set out to write emulating another composer, or is it just something that comes to you after the fact?
That one I did, and that's a song that had been kicking around in my head for, I don't know, many years, actually. I finally got it recorded, and it's supposed to be an imitation of Chopin. I realize it's not as sophisticated and doesn't have as much meat on the bone as Chopin's real music. We don't have the runs. We don't have the really the substance that Chopin did. But it's supposed to be a suggestion of him, of his music.
Mm-hmm. I had it genred as jazz and blues in our digital music library, but that's obviously wrong. So.
Well, some of it is. If you want to play a song like a backwards boogie, that's blues and jazz.
That's off the Shadow Life album.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So we'll play that. And then when you come back, I want to find out from you where you're at, how people can find your music and things like that. So have a listen to Backwards Boogie first. We'll tidy up when you come back.
Sure.
The backwards boogie. What's backwards about it, Tim?
Left hand. If you play it backwards, you'll get some subliminal messages or whatever that Paul McCartney was alive, I think. Yeah.
I love the boogie style.
Actually,
of music.
I went in the studio with, I didn't really have a melody, I just had the left hand, so I just kind of improvised from there, and it sounded all right. And the break was when I couldn't think of anything else, so there's a break there. It just goes, whoop, and then it starts up again.
Yeah, it starts off with a bang, too. So
actually, all I had in mind was, it's not a three-chord boogie, it's a six-chord boogie. So you go to E and D and A, and then back to G and C again, and you start over again.
Hmm. It's lovely stuff. So, if people want to get more of your music, I mean, we only had a small sampling here this afternoon, where would you prefer that they get your music from?
Well, I'm really into Spotify at the moment, and trying to get my Spotify numbers up. I'm trying to push Ghost Dance over 1,000 streams. It's like pushing a truck or something, but I'm trying to do that. And you will find me on many playlists on Spotify, but if you type in Tim McInnes, you will find all my music there on Spotify. You can also find me on SoundCloud and YouTube. I have my YouTube channel that I really don't work on very much, but it is there.
We'll have all those links on our show notes webpage, which you can get at through radiowaterloo.ca/ccc. Tim McInnes, it has been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Oh, yeah, it's been fun.
If you're ever in the neighborhood of Kitchener-Waterloo, it's not that far from London, Ontario.
Yeah, and, there's a relative of mine up in Kitchener in a retirement home, so sometimes we visit her, so I might swing by.
Bring a keyboard, bring you into the studio, and have a live concert performance.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be great. You've been listening to CKMS Community Connections on CKMS FM Radio Waterloo. CKMS Community Connections is sponsored by Radio Waterloo. Today's episode was for the 20th of January, 2023. You've been listening to Radio Waterloo. My name is Bob Jonkman, and we'll be back next week, same time, same station. Have a good weekend.